Brother Beach did a tremendous job teaching on prayer. I got chewed on some of the things he said, amen. And how what a natural outline he gave, but just right there in scripture laid out and just explained. I was like, my goodness, why did I see that before? That's the way I feel like a lot of times. Why did I see that before? But I guess we'll see things when God wants to see things. How about wants to see? Couldn't be saved, couldn't be in the house of God tonight.
Amen.
And I appreciate our prayers. I know we have seniors. I'm not taking away from our seniors. I hope we know that. Just the way he's preaching to him. His message has been on me. Devil's sore fault. Amen. And so it must be for somebody good today to hear this message. So if you will, let's all stand. Joshua today, chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3. I've had this message for about 3-4 days. Been chewing on it, looking at it. And I hope it'll be a help to somebody here tonight. I really do. Joshua chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3. Verse number 14. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 3, verse number 14, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest. Then the waters were in which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the sea of Adam, that is, beside Zarethan. Those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. The priests that bear the ark of the covenant, the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I want to preach a message this morning on this title. Have you ever craved to cross over? Have you ever craved to cross over? You know, the Bible says that, the Bible teaches us that the land of Canaan, a lot of people say that Canaan land is representative of heaven, but it's really not. Because in Canaan land, they still had battles, and they still had to gather their food, and they still had to work in Canaan. And I don't believe we're going to gather food or work or have any battles when we get to heaven.
Amen.
What Canaan land represents is the victorious Christian life, living in the victory. And even living in the victory, there are going to be battles, and there are going to be work to do, and there's going to be things, but you live in victory. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever craved the crossing? Yeah, have you ever craved the crossing? And I want to preach out this chapter today, this chapter, a little bit out of chapter 4, on 5 things that you'll have to do to make the crossing. 5 things, I believe, that the Bible gives us in these verses in order to cross over and live in the victory. And I'm telling you, everybody here, understand my voice, if you are saved, now listen, I'm going to beg capital here, if you are saved, your desire ought to be to live in victory. Amen? And if you're lost today, if your desire, listen, I hope God sparked your desire to want to live a victorious life and not a defeated, a death-warrant life, but a life that you live and not just exist. Amen?
Amen.
Don't preach on that day. Do you ever crave to cross over? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And I spoke for you in Alicia in prayer. I appreciate Brother Freeman this morning.
God, I thank you this morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Lord, I thank you today, God, for you being so real. Thank you for your love. Be with our pastor this morning as he preaches. God, he preaches as he never preached before. And the Spirit, your Spirit, will work as it's never worked before. I thank you for saving me and loving me. And I pray for the many that's turned their back on you this morning. God, that you'd go there where they might be and touch them one more time. And God, they'll come back to you before it's too late. And I pray that you save us all this near sailor. And God, when you touch me and save me, you could save anybody. I thank you for your love and your mercy. And God, I pray that you have your way in this earth today. Every word that's spoken, every song that's sung. And God, you receive honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Preach this morning again. Do you ever crave cross over? Amen. The Bible in this passage, you begin to look at this, they're getting ready, they've come out of Egypt, they are free. Amen. They have now drifted around, walked around, wandered around for 40 years because of lack of faith, a lack of trust in God. They wandered around, and that generation died. Their whole generation died because they would not make the crossing. Amen. And I'll say this, if you do not want to make the crossing over, and if you don't want to live a victorious life, and you just want to live out in the wilderness, and you want to be you want to see a spiritual hobo and let God feed you every day. Amen. Everybody says, boy, I tell you what, they had in the wilderness, they had manna. Yeah, they did. But they were spiritual hobos. They lived on God.
Amen.
For 40 years, God put shoes on their feet, and God clothed them. God let them have some things, and God took care of them. But it wasn't like living where they're supposed to be.
Right, amen.
A lot of people live spiritual, they just get by, just barely make it. They got by, but there's no joy in their faith, in their talk, in their conversation. There's no joy whatsoever. There's no victory in their life. I want to ask you a question today. Do you want to cross over and live in victory? The Bible says in verse number 1-3, if you look at it with me in this passage, it gives us something that happens here in chapter number 3, verse 1. The Bible says that Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shechem unto Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. The Bible says, and it came to pass in the 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest of Levites bear it, then shall you remove from your place and go after it. There's 3 things we've got to see, but the main point is this. Number one, you've got to come out of shade. You've got to come out of shade in order to live across Jordan. Notice what it says in Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shechem. And the word Shechem, the place of Shechem, is the place of acacia trees, is the place of shade trees, which the children of Israel had camped out under. There's a lot of people that live their life, let's just be honest with you, they're living their life in the gray areas. Mm-hmm. Amen. They're living their life in the shaded areas of this life. As the Bible says in 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so there's a lot of people living in the shaded areas, in the gray areas of life. When there are 4 people that found the Bible that sit underneath a shade tree and got themselves in trouble. Number one, we see that Eve came underneath the shade tree. The Bible says over there in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than all beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. His hands of the woman, yea, had God said, he should not eat of every tree of the garden. And we know what happened. She went ahead and listened to him for a while, and he convinced her that it was all right to take that fruit. The Bible says she looked at that fruit. She thought it was good to eat, and one made me wise. The Bible says she took from it, she ate, and gave it to her husband, which was with her. Amen. But listen, they didn't pick that tree for the car. They had to get underneath the shade tree. They had to get underneath that tree in order to pick that fruit. Amen. Nobody ever picked a fruit from a hawk. Amen. And so, first of all, I see that Eve was under the shade tree of self-indulgence, of doing what she wanted to do. Amen. And there's a lot of people that are living under the shade tree of self-indulgence. They're just kind of doing their thing. Amen. I'm doing what I like to do. Well, it's good for me. It must be good to do. Amen. If it's free, it's for me. That's what a lot of folks are doing. Amen. And so we see that Eve was under the shade tree of self-indulgence. Then I thought about what I said is I was Saul. You know, Saul was the first king of Israel. God had called him into the ministry there. As king, he allowed him to be anointed. But Saul, he rose up and he fought. But after a while, Saul quit fighting. The Bible says over there in Genesis 3, I see the 1 Samuel 14:2, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. 600 men sitting around him. You know what, though? While he was doing that, his son was up fighting the battle. Amen. The Bible says over 1 Samuel 22:6, when Saul heard that David was discovered and the men were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having a spear in his hand, and his servants were standing by him. And so Saul was constantly called underneath the shade tree. He was under the shade tree of self-importance. He always had his crowd around him. He always was sitting in the shade tree. He was always eating under the shade tree. He was always having his protection under the shade tree. But Saul was king, and Saul should have been fighting for Israel, and Saul should have been going to battle. But instead of that, he was self-indulgent, self-indulgent, not indulgent, but he was self-indulgent. protecting himself from the battlefield. Number three, in order to make the crossing, you got to come out of the shade tree, not only of self-indulgence and self-importance, but self-pity. We know about Elijah. What a great man of God. What a man of faith. The Bible said he is a man of faith, a man of prayer. He prayed, and the Bible said it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Prayed again, it rained came. Amen. We see that he took all those wicked 400 men that served Baal, took them down by the riverside, cut their throats. Amen.
Yeah.
Cut their throats, not the riverside, but the brook. Kedron, cut their throats and got rid of them. Amen. But the Bible says when Jezebel threatened him, they run off and got a new shade. And I tell you what, there's a lot of times the old devil will tell somebody, try to whisper in their ears, we ain't enough, can't do nothing. What we'll do is we'll climb under the shade tree of self-pity. Amen. I've been there before. I've let that happen to me in my own life. Listen, you think you didn't want to curl up and die on God? He said, I know better. My father just let me die. Mm-hmm. Amen. Listen, if we're going to live in victory, we've got our coming out from under the shade tree of self-pity.
Amen.
Remember 4 days. The Bible says old Nathaniel was there. You remember his brother, Philip, went to get after him. He said, man, we have found the cross. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where's he at? Well, he's down in Galilee. You know what he's saying? He said, there ain't any good thing come out of Galilee. He said, search the scriptures. I can't find that nowhere. But see, what he didn't understand is Jesus was born in Bethany.
Amen.
Amen. He was just living in Galilee.
Amen.
When he was born in Bethany.
Amen.
And he didn't get all those things together. So he said, hey, boy, I'll tell you one thing. I know the scriptures, and I'm telling you, that can't be the Christ. But he's out of Galilee, it can't be. You know what happened then? Jesus walked by him and talked to him a little bit, told him all about it, what he knew about it. The Bible says over there in the first time, over in John chapter 1:48, that Nathanael said to him, which knowest thou me? How do you know me?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says Jesus answered said to him before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
I saw
him.
Well, I tell you one thing, we need to come out from under the shade tree of self-indulgence and self-importance and self-pity and self-assurance. Like we know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Daniel never got in and Christ not seen where he's free.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He came to where he was. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He came to where he was. And God got him out there. Boy, I ain't got this in my outline. But old Zacchaeus, amen.
Mm-hmm.
God had to come out. He had to come out of self-stature. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He had to come down where Jesus was. Amen. Mm-hmm. And amazed that Jesus made himself come underneath that tree, looked up and said, you got to come down here where I am.
There you go.
In order that you might go up where I'm going. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, what I'm saying is this. Listen, we've got to come out from under the shade tree in order to cross the Jordan. Amen. We've got to quit being so much in self-indulgence and self-importance and self-pity and self-assurance. Then notice what it says. They came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. Not only do we have to rise out of the shade, we've got to rest by the riverside. That river is a flowing river. It talks about the Word of God. Amen. Something moving water talks about the Spirit there. Water depths of water talks about the Word of God. And the river Jordan is both deep and wide and flowing.
Amen.
He said, I want to cross over. Oh, by the way, the word Jordan means descending. Amen. You got to die to self. And so you see him look at that. They go down there and what they do? They rest by the riverside. Boy, you're going to make a crossing. You're going to have to find some deeper water that's moving than you are.
Amen.
Amen. Where are you going to find that? Right here in this book. Amen. Not emotion, but the fact of the word. Now notice this. Look at verse 2. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Now, not only do you have to rise out of shame and rest by the riverside, but you got to ready yourself for the crossing.
That's it.
How are you going to ready? How are you going to get ready to live in victory? How are you going to get ready to live in victory? Well, the Bible gives it to us right here. Number one, you got to have some officers in your life. What I mean is this, God has some leaders for you. You don't have to make the crossing by yourself.
Amen, thank you.
Amen. You ain't got to figure out the best way to live in victory. God's got some officers in your life that God has put in your life that's going to go through the camp and tell you how you can live in victory.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to tell you these things. They're going to look at you and say, hey, now listen, something's getting ready to happen. You need to get ready for it.
Amen.
Amen. And not only do you have some officers, but God's going to have some orders for you. Amen. God's going to have some people in your life that are going to give you commandments as you go across the Jordan.
Amen.
If you're going to live in victory, you're going to have to learn two things. Number one, there are some people. because I know the flesh. Oh, flesh, grow up. Ain't nobody going to tell you nothing. Ain't nobody going to tell you nothing. Well, that's fine. But I'm going to say this. If somebody can tell you something, you'll never lose it.
Amen.
You'll never make it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to cross my head. No, you won't. You won't do it. Because you won't know how to do it. Oh, but I'm so smart. Well, yeah, you just like the banger. Amen. You know how God has somebody ordained in your life that is going to give you some orders, and you got to learn to do what they say that you might make the growth.
Amen.
But I got this all figured out. Hey, God didn't say that. He said, except the officers to the camp to give them orders. Amen.
Yeah.
And he said, this is the way. He didn't tell them, listen, when you get an emotional feeling, you just swim and join. He didn't say buy you by. He didn't say get up on the mountaintop here and build you up. Build you up and lay you by. Hang you to the slide over the river. No, he said, when you seek those priesthood, you get up and you go out. Amen. Hey, when you see somebody else crossing, yes, and then time for you to cross. Amen. You see what I'm saying? And so, number one, we've got to come out of shame and rise up out of shame, rest by the riverside, and ready yourself by the crossing by listening to the officers and the orders that God has given.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
sir. Now, number two, not only do we see you come out of shame, that's just point one. My goodness. Point number two, we got to come sanctify ourselves. See, what people have sanctification, God does all sanctification. Oh, no, there's some sanctification that you are responsible for. Amen. When God saves us, he sanctifies us for him.
Amen.
But daily we have to sanctify ourselves for living.
Exactly.
Are you listening? Look at it with me in verse number 4. Yet, are you looking? Yet, there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, coming not near unto it. Now he said, there's going to be a distance. Now what are they doing there? They are reverencing the holy. What if a lot of people, I'm going to just be honest with you, there's a lot of people trying to live in the victory, and you know what they do? They try to outrun God.
Bless the Lord.
I mean, literally. Man, I see this all God. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to read 90 chapters a day, and I'm going to pray 26 hours a day. And I tell you what, I'm going to involve in everything all day long. And I tell you one thing, I'm going to be spiritual. I'm just going to spiritual myself. I don't even know you won't. You know, every person I've seen do that, they quit. Yeah. Every person I've seen do that, quit. I ain't seen one person that ever held up to me. You know why? Because you're right in the flesh. And you can't pray 26 hours a day, God. You'd be 24.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm not telling you to compromise, don't live for God. Y'all live for God. Y'all preach the Bible. Y'all pray. Y'all do this. And every time I ever see anybody do that, It just. I'll be honest with you. That's embarrassing to God.
Amen.
Get up and say, boy, I think one day I'll live for God. I love the Lord. He's so good to me. He's so precious to me. He is. Boy, I can't go down to this. And next thing you can't find the FBI church. But you look around and say, oh, that verse on fire. Some people live for God. Some people don't live for God. Where they at? And then you know what you do? For those that ain't doing nothing, you start excusing them for not doing nothing. Because they ain't doing anything. You ain't doing anything. So they feel pretty good about yourself.
Yes.
Listen.
Yes,
you got to be faithful, steadfast, but you also have to reverence the things of holiness. God said, keep your distance. Now, why do you say keep your distance? Look at verse number 4. That ye may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way. You've never been there before. It's amazing how so many people know how to live in danger, never lived in danger before. He said, you've never been there before. He said, keep your distance so when you get in the place of Emma, there's almost over a million Jews there. Get ready to make the crossing. And there's the ark of judgment. It's about this way, but this way, it's about this high. And they got the pole store through it. Hey, there's a priest, there's four priests, only two of the Levites are bearing my ark. Now think about it. How in the world are the Jews going to see that ark all of them? Impossible. You don't reckon there's a one little top of the other? Oh, actually, yes, it made it possible in just a minute. Or was it the women, the children, the babies? The Bible said keep your distance. Not only because it's holy, but keep your distance that you might know how something to happen.
Amen.
I tell you what, we got too many days that are wound up and wound down and wound out, and you can't find them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All we need is somebody just to grab us on the house and fall in line and start walking that way.
There you go. Amen.
Amen. Look at what verse number 5. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You know, he said this, he said, listen, everyone makes a distance. Reverence, have the reverence of the holy. Amen. Have a reverence on how to. And then have a resemblance of harmony. He said, clean yourself up. Because if that's holy, you're following it. Don't you think you'll be like it? See, you want to live in victory, here's what you do. Here's what you do. Well, what do you reverence? What's holy? That's holy.
Yes, sir.
You reverence that thing.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't act like I know all of it. But they said, I don't know all of it. You don't know all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if Bill has been around 87 years, he don't know all of it. He's not hip, he's straight, I don't know it all. That don't anyone thing to think I used to follow him, I don't know anymore. He said, I don't know. Mm-hmm. He told me, he said, I don't know as much as I used to think.
Mm-hmm.
He's 87 years old, that's pretty good reference point, isn't it?
Amen. 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 Yes,
number one, we need to understand there's some things we don't know. Number two, we need to understand how we ought to know. And by the way, we ought to understand how we ought to show. If we're going to walk behind such holy, we ought to clean ourselves up. The Bible says, the Lord in the first company says, he has his own hymn purify himself. And if you know the Lord's coming back, you start getting right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how to hear it. Come on. I don't know where all my God.
Go ahead.
Come on, you didn't hit your head this morning, did you?
Bless the Lord.
Amen. You tell me the Holy Spirit, you don't ever know if you've had nothing right. Oh, it doesn't mean.
Yes.
Hey, I'm gonna go preach somewhere. And the path looked like it's too loud. I went back and changed it just so people wouldn't bring a fancy show.
Amen.
Now, Lord, if the Lord makes me change path, how come he won't make you change where you go?
Amen. Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know. The Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One and need that no man teach you. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit on the inside today. Break down the side. Break down the good place to be. Break down the call of that. Break down the challenge of it. Break down the challenge of it. Go ahead. Holy Spirit says, man, you know, that's how.
Amen.
I mean, we ought to resemble what we follow after.
Yes,
sir. Amen. Y'all still with me this morning?
Yes, sir. Amen.
All right, now watch this. We made a cross tonight. How do you want to cross over? Number one, we got to come out of shape. Number two, we got to come sanctify ourselves. Number three, we got to come shoulder the burden. Look at verse number 6. Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Look at what happened in the call of the Bible. It says, Joshua speaking to the priest. Look at verse number 8. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of God, saying, when he comes to the brink of the water, he shall stand still in the door. Notice that God told them to have a command. He said, command. Is that right? Command them. But don't you look at verse number 6. And Joshua speaking to the priest. Was Joshua being disobedient? I don't believe so. Here's the thing. The method of the call is this. God tells you something that is a command.
Amen.
But because you're a sheep, you just hear a voice. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people say, tell me what was it? Well, your wife says, come to supper. Is she not telling you what to do? Come on, supper time. Your wife ever told you that? Come on, supper time. What'd you do? Husband, he told me what to do. Huh? Is that right? Is that what you do? You look at that. He told me what to do. Yeah, what you do is all right.
What's my name?
Is she not getting a commandment?
Amen.
Come on, supper time. So what you hear is a speaking time in that mind. Tell me. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people really don't want to take commandments because all they hear is commandments, but they don't hear a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Go in all the world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Preach Bible. Study to show yourself approved. They don't pray always. They don't pray, lift up holy hands. Are those not commandments?
Amen.
Sure they are. But if you love them, you just all you hear is the voice from my spirit.
Amen.
Now, if you don't believe me, don't show up or something. John's making the brief saying, take out the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took out the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. There's the method of the call. Verse number 7 of John, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all the people, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And so we see the magnification of the call. God's going to magnify those leaders and they're going to help them to keep leading.
Amen.
I believe God's going to have the right man in the right place in this generation, just as much as they have the right man in the right place in the last generation. What do you think?
Amen.
Think we still trust God to have the right person lead us.
Amen.
Look at verse 8. And thou shalt command the priest to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when thou come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. There's the manifestation of God. So number 3, we need to come out of shame. We need to come sanctify ourselves. Number 3, we need to come shoulder the burden. Somebody's got to bear the burden of the glory of God. Somebody's got to bear the burden of the glory of God. Amen? God's presence. Look at verse number 9 to 17. Appreciate you listening. Well, look at verse 9. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither. Hear the words of the Lord our God, your God. Joshua said, hear my, ye shall know that the living God is among you. And then he will, without fail, drive out from you, before you, the Canaanites, and Hittites, and Hivites, and Perizzites, and Gergeshites, and Hamorites, and the Jebusites. What's he doing? He said, come here, I want you to show you something. He said, no, you need to come out of shame, you need to come sanctify yourself, and you need to come show the burden. Number 3, number 4, you need to come step in the water. But before you step in the water, here's some things that God's going to do. Number 1, I want you to examine the focus of God. Why are we crossing over? So that God can give you something.
Amen.
Why do you want to live a victorious life? So God can give you something that he promised. And he said, if you cross over, when you cross over, he said, I'm going to run all that crowd out so you can have it.
Amen.
Amen. They're good. And so we see the examination. We need to examine what God is focused on. Why does God want something? Because he wants us to give us something that he's promised.
Amen.
He wants to keep his covenant. God is a promise keeping God.
Amen.
Amen. People talk about promise keepers. Yeah, nobody can be a promise keeper like God.
That's right.
Amen. Now look at verse number 13. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soul of the seed of the priest and bear the ark of the Lord of all earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, and that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And he said, not only should we examine the focus of God, but number 2, we ought to expect the voice of God. If we're going to cross the Jordan, if we're going to live in victory, well, expect God to show up and help us.
Amen.
He said, I'd like to live in victory, but I don't know if I can. But he told me not to ring your doorbell this morning. You can't.
Right.
But he can.
Amen.
He can
move it out
of our lives. He can give us victory. He can bring joy to our lives. He can make us live above this crowd.
Amen.
But you got to expect it. That's called faith.
Amen.
Number 3. We need to experience the faithfulness of God. Come step in the water that you might examine the focus of God. Come step in the water that you might expect the force of God. Come step in the water that you might experience the faithfulness of God. Look at verse 4. It came to pass when the people moved from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. Number 1, when they moved, God is going to do something. Look at verse 15. As they that bear the ark come into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all the banks, all the time of year. They got the feet wet, didn't they? Well, I want to cross over, but I don't want to cross over. I won't cross over that. I don't want to be committed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You never cross over until you're committed to something.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes, sir. You got to get committed to that book. You got to get committed to prayer. You got to get committed to church. Mm-hmm. I won't live in victory. You got to get committed. You got to get your feet wet. You got to put yourself on there. The Bible says, when God has feet wet. Well, listen, they step in that water with faith. That water did not divide before they put their feet in. That water divided after they put their feet in. A lot of us wait for God to do something. Well, he's really going to wait for us to do something.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting for us to get our feet wet. Just get your feet wet a little bit. Just trust God a little bit. Step out of faith and God, I want to step in that water. I got the pine dog on, I'm hearing the bird. I'm going to step out of faith and do something. Amen. I'm going to trust God to do something.
Amen.
Go into verse 16. When he did it, the waters came down from above, stood, rose up. And what happened? I'm just for the sake of time. There's two veins of water that runs in the river Jordan that come down. And the Bible says it cut both veins off. Cut hot, you went and cut hot cold water off. And it's a rip. And it all cut off. And that water stopped up here. And the rest of the water in the rivers went wrong down the river. No.
Amen.
God just put his hand up and said, all right, you want to see something? Watch this. I'm going to experience, praise the Lord, experience the faithfulness of God. How are you going to do it? You're going to get your feet wet. You're going to commit yourself to make the cross.
Amen.
Now let me be very blunt. Those priests, in no way, shape, or form, could have crossed that river with the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulder and made it over Canaan. They could not have done it. They took a step of faith, a step of impossibility, mm-hmm. and watched God make it possible.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the rivers running over here, where the Ark's coming? Here they come. By the way, this is a new generation. They didn't remember the crossing of the Red Sea.
Right.
And by the way, they got a new leader now. First time they crossed over, crossed to Moses.
Amen.
Now they got a little young whippersnapper called Joshua.
Amen. Amen.
And he's telling what they ought to do. And all they did, they believed that God had the right man, the right place, the right time to lead them.
Yes.
And those priests stepped in and break off water. I believe there's two in the corner. I believe all four got in water. I believe it's two. I believe all four got in water. How do you believe that?
Amen.
I mean, you believe God has had some people stand out of faith, not everybody? Mm-hmm. It all has to stand.
Yes.
It all has to stand. Oh, yeah, but priest, that's for the priest. That's not for me. I believe that's the New Testament. He said, I've been a new holy priesthood. Mm-hmm. All the saints are priests. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so they stand in water. They experience the faithfulness of God. Why? Because it's about it. And the Bible said they crossed over. Isn't that good? They crossed over. Come on back up to verse number 11 of chapter 3. Verse number 3, verse 11 says this. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passed over before you in Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. Now why did he do that? Why did he take 12 men over to the side to take one out of every tribe? What's their purpose? Well, here's what the purpose is. Look at chapter 4, verse 5. They crossed over that Jordan. Chapter 4, verse 5. Look at it with me. They came across when all the people had made it. The Bible says that Joshua said unto them, this is those 12 men, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone from his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. And each one walked in and picked from 12. Each one got in there and got a big old stone. And they put it on the shoulder. You think they were in there and got a little pebble? You think they looked for a small stone? Man, if I was in the middle of this thing, there's a miracle house, I'm going to get the biggest one I can get. Amen. I mean, I've been there some fellas down there. I mean, just wrestling that thing. They got it up on the shoulder, and they're going to walk out of that thing and victory. Man, I ain't going to walk. Hey, you know what I'm trying to do? We're going to talk a little pebble testimony. I ain't interested in pebble testimony. They got the stone. Make a memory with it. Amen. But it's up there. Man, I tell you what, they're going to get their little stone. By the way, it's a stone that represents the whole tribe. Mm-hmm. Some of your dads pick up a stone for your whole family. Some of your moms pick up a stone for your whole family. Mm-hmm. Some of our members need to pick up a stone for our whole church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Walk out of that place and say, you know what? God did something great today. Mm-hmm. I was there when it happened.
Yes, sir.
Hey, but I was there when it happened. God did something great today. I'm there when it happened. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Some of you carry the testimony, don't they? Look at verse number 6. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers at a time to come and say, what mean you by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of the Lord of Jordan were cut off, these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel. And it says, you know what? The children someday are going to come back and go walk by these stones out here. They're going to say, what's this stack of stones about? They said, oh man, let me tell you, man back there, two miles away, over there on Sunday morning, God broke out with us, man, we had revival, God met with us, amen, and I went down that river, smiled, and I grabbed one of them crossed over, when I made the crossing, let me tell you what God did.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, notice this. Not only do we carry the testimony, and we have the children with the testimony. Look at verse 8. When Judah and Israel did that, so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Notice this, not only did they carry them out, and did they have a children that were going to look, but they carried them into their camp where they were staying. Hey, do you imagine when they made the crossing? Well, let me just think about it for a minute. They made that crossing.
Chapter number 3. The Bible says there's a man by the name of Ehud.
Though he hid was barely, he was close to coming up against a wicked king, Eglon, who had never kept him. Oh, Eglon was wicked. Wicked and raging as you won't believe. Hey, I'll need more hits on there. Why do we want to cross over? Judges chapter number 3. Verse 15. When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raised them up and delivered Ehud, the king of Gera, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, by Ehud, the children of Israel, sent a friend unto Eglon, the king of Moab. And Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of a cubic length, and he did gird it upon his raiment, upon his right thigh. Remember, he's left-handed, so put on his right thigh. He brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end of the altar and the prayer, he sent away the people that bear the present. He gave them the present. He went there and gave them the present. He took the present and sent them all away. The Bible says in verse 19 that he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king. And he said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in the summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he rose out of the seat, and Ehud put forth his hand, left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it in his belly. And half also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out, and Ehud went forth from the porch, and shut the door of the parlor upon him, and locked him, and when he was going, anyway, this old wicked king Eglon died. So Ehud was sent as a judge and deliver for Israel. He went and gave him the present. He gave him the present. He accepted it. The Bible says he told him, go around. So Ehud left, headed out. Can you imagine? He goes 14, heads out. Here he goes. Here he goes. And the Bible says he went by the quarries of where? Gilgal. You know what he's calling Gilgal? Here's some 12 stones that said it. God has brought this victorious to me about that. And it was there. God had given it to him. God had granted it to him. God had blessed him with it. And he got up down there, and the Bible says he's heading by, he goes by the quarters, and he passes by Gilgal. You know what he does? He's talking about home with that chip, can you? I got something to tell you from God. Every cause, every testimony has a cause. Whether you realize it or not, the reason that it's so important for you to cross over and live in a victorious life is so you stack some stones up and somebody else gets to the point where they get to that decision, taking time, take a look over that stack of stones you did. And it might turn around and say, I'm going to go back to Steve. This is our man. This is what God's given us. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to sell it out for nothing. I'm going to turn around and go back and get it. I'm going to give that king what for today. We're done with it.
Yes, sir.
So I'll ask you this question today. Anybody here ready to make a cross? Probably five things you're going to do. You got to come out of shade. You got to sanctify yourself. You got to shoulder the burden. You got to step in the water. And then when you get all on the other side, my stack of stones in it. We don't do that today. Want to do that today? Or you will do that today? We will separate from this world, get out of shade, quit being satisfied with self the way you are. Shoulder the burden of God's presence. Step into the water. And then listen, if God lets you cross over, would you step your stones on the other side? For another generation, those that might have passed by that way before. Let's all stand. I'm sorry for my voice. I know it's bad. I'm about to whisper. I won't scream holler, but it makes my voice angry today. And maybe this ain't full scream hollers. I'm going to ask this question today. Is anybody crazy across me? Okay, let's come play some soccer. While she's playing, maybe you just need to stand up and say, you know what? Like stacking stones. But I gotta get ready to create the crossing first. So we like the stone stacking part, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other things that happen in our lives first. We got to get committed to something. We got to get committed to something. We got to plan all of our stuff. Quit looking for guidance. And sometimes we got to just lay through this. You got to push yourself out there. You got to stand in the way. You got to be willing to take orders. And you got to have some officers in your life. I've got officers in my life.
Thank you.
Can I hear somebody talking about it? I listen, brother. Is there a preacher's name? There's a preacher yesterday, he was telling jokes, and this being funny, it was just on the side of my head, and it's kind of cut up a little bit. And he said, you know what, when I step in the water to commit myself, what it really is a refreshing. Sometimes we are so exhausted in the morning that we don't understand for each minute enough the commitment itself so kind of that's cool, boy, Harris. It's pretty good. We walk around with this old dust and feet over the years. How do you do that? That's how you'll do it. Doing what God wants you to do. No question asked. Just doing the last thing. Hey, listen. Just doing the last thing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right now. Here's the funny thing about it. The one in the front has been on paper, so the one in the back has hey, can y'all go load up? Yeah, I'll take your car. Can you imagine with it? Probably, I think we're probably on the back side of this thing. Can you imagine when we put our feet in? You get this world wet and the water's dried up. And everything gets settled. Oh, we're just going to inch step in. There's already another going for us. Oh, we're just going to inch step in. I'm closing, I'm done. It's 12:23, we're going home. I'll ask you this, have you done everything you're supposed to do this morning? God's going to leave my heart, so I'm supposed to do this. Some step you're supposed to take this morning. This morning is the time to do it. This morning.
Thank you.